the afternoon, west of the Pennines generally around 13 to 15. For Northern Ireland, we'll see one or two showers during the morning. Best of any sunshine, like yesterday, to the east where we could see highs of 15, but a lot more cloud around during the afternoon and many areas only around 11 to 13 Celsius. And for Scotland, the showers dotted around the north and west in the morning will generally fade. Winds ease back a little bit. Sunny spells with temperatures from 10 in the west to 14 in the east.
Matt Taylor, thank you. Now on Radio 4, following the theme of this morning's Start the Week and running over the next 5 days, we have a series of specially recorded radio letters from Italy. With the recent election stalemate, the arrival of a new party leader by the one-time comedian Beppe Grillo, the looming sense of economic decline and upheaval at the Vatican, it's certainly a time of reflection and introspection for many Italians. Here, with a professional view from within the higher education community, is the economist Gustavo Piga and our first letter from Italy.
Lettera dall'Italia.
Lettera dall'Italia.
Buongiorno a tutti, benvenuti. You're at the University of Rome Tor Vergata in the Faculty of Economics. Who you are right now in the canteen of the university, you're listening actually to Gustavo Piga. I'm one of the professors of this fantastic Faculty of Economics. So what we're going to do now is we're going to find a fairly quiet corner where I can read to you my letter regarding my country, Italy. Possiamo andare? Vado? Brava, sei un angelo, grazie. Shall I go? I like traveling. I travel a lot, and I think I like it most of all because it allows me to better understand my country. I land in an airport, I grab a cab, I look out of the window, I breathe diversity. I compare constantly what I see with my country, with Italy. We Italians love our country. A decade back, we elected a president of the Republic, Carlo Azeglio Ciampi, former governor of the Bank of Italy. He made a point of revamping our patriotism by forcing us all to learn the words of the national anthem and cheer at the flag. But it was plowing fertile ground. Italians love to criticize their country, but make no mistake, they love its culture, its traits, whether geographical or sociological, even its regional fragmentation. Now, you might wonder why an economist should start talking about his country in a way that has nothing to do with economics. Where is the economic analysis? Where is the euro? Where is austerity? Where are taxes? Where is bloated government? Well, I thought that I would give you a sort of different perspective on that. And to do that, I'm going to read to you three stories, but let's go upstairs in a quieter place to my office. Arrivederci, grazie. Okay, let's get in now. Here we are. So I land in Mexico. The usual conference, yes. But Mexico City is bursting with energy. And I notice the difference. It's palpable. My room is heavy with the spirit of recession. I'm at the conference dinner. I meet this gentleman. He must be in his mid-60s. Middle manager of the company that invited me to speak. Mexican gentleman. He loves Italy. He knows by heart its most famous songs, its singers, its movies. But I can't help noticing that all these names are of a different era, mostly the 50s, the 60s. So I try suggesting to him some names of new movie directors, new actors, new singers. Imagine Nanni Moretti, Gianna Nannini, or even Roberto Benigni. And he looks puzzled and shakes his head. It's as though Italy had, at a certain point in the history of mankind, disappeared from the global screen, wiped out. I ask him if he's heard of Cinema Paradiso, the Trovatore Oscar-winning movie of the late 80s that spoke of a young Sicilian who abandons his adored region to go and work in Rome, only to come back decades later as a successful movie director. No, no. He never even heard of Cinema Paradiso. There's a famous scene in the film where a fantastic Philippe Noiret tells the kid never to turn back. Battini, in Sicilian. Don't come back. Do not ever think about us. Don't turn back, don't write, don't get screwed by nostalgia. Forget us. Migration seems to be a constant theme for Italians. In the 19th century, we left for the Americas. Today, we leave again. The youngest ones leave. I know that for a fact. I mean, statistics simply confirm it. I know their names. They were my students. University enrollment is down. Rich or middle-income high school graduates leave. And they do not come back. I did come back in the mid-90s. After a PhD at Columbia in New York, I felt it was important to come back. But it was an Italy that was still proud and strong, unlike the battered and confused country we are now. And the students today, they don't come back because they don't see opportunities to fulfill their dreams. No country for young men. So much so that any patriotic instinct to return is dwarfed by this giant wedge between opportunities offered by globalization and the meager stipends we propose to our best and our brightest. Mind you, I'm not saying they shouldn't go. I'm just saying they should come back, or, maybe more to the point, Italy should become a haven for all young European citizens. But they shun our country too, except for a brief artistic or leisure vacation. These people I'm talking about, these are the people we basically saw downstairs at the canteen. These are real people. I read a blog on the internet, and the piece in my blog that got read the most over the past 2 years was a response to an article that came out in a widely distributed Italian paper, La Stampa, owned by Fiat. And its managing editor, a brilliant journalist, came out one day with an editorial in which he complained that every time he met a young Italian student and asked what was the first word that came to mind when he said future, all the answers he was getting were bleak and sad. He concluded that youngsters should stop being weenies and face life with more optimism. Now, I teach 400 students, first year economics, a huge class. I like my students and did not believe this story for a moment. So this is what I did. First sit down exam, I told them, guys, please write as usual on your sheet, first name, last name, registration number, plus, this time, do me a favor. I will say to you one word, and please write down the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear it. And the word is, you guessed it, future, futuro. 267 answers. Only 51 had a negative connotation. Of the remaining 200 and more, 22 were about family, 13 used the word hope, 16 innovation, technology, and there were many crazy, fantastic words, red cherry, spaceship, then bridge, infinity. My students proved me right. It's not true that Italian youngsters are pessimistic and lazy. It is us, the old guys, who would love to see them this way. The fact is that the latest elections saw three major candidates, Berlusconi, Monti and Bersani, with an impressive average age of almost 69 years old, second to none in Europe. Beppe Grillo also, he's 65 years old, but at least his candidates were young, and that might explain part of his incredible success in the latest elections. The Italian public sector, which is usually wrongly accused of being bloated, and actually it isn't, official European statistics say, is instead heaving with old employees. Almost 60% are more than 50 years old, against 30% in the United Kingdom. There is a lot of talk about waste in Italy and how we should prevent government from generating it in public spending. Rarely do we gauge the extent of what Nobel Prize in Economics Joe Stiglitz called, when he was in Rome, faced with Italian Prime Minister Mario Monti, the greatest waste of all. That is the loss of an entire generation, lost between unemployment and discouragement. So here we are outside in the campus. I thought that we would come out here to give you, first of all, a break from the letter, and second of all, to get to meet some of the students. Allora, Sara, dirmi cosa la prima idea che ti veniva in mente quando sentivi la parola futuro?
Allora, io in realtà non ho avuto tempo di scrivere effettivamente la parola sul compito, però la parola che avrei scritto sarebbe stata passato.
This is beautiful. The first thing she would have said after hearing the word future would have been the past. Because there can be no future in a sense, no solid future, without being built on a solid past. And this is a very Italian answer, I like it very much. Flavio.
Io scrissi due risposte. La prima parola era grigio, perché vedo il futuro come qualcosa di né bianco ma né nero. La seconda parola è la storia, perché simile a quello che ha detto Sara.
So he basically said history again. He also said grey, not white nor black, a sense of uncertainty, which is what surrounds us right now around Italy. And finally, Daniele?
Io praticamente ho scritto curiosità.
Well, you heard the word. The key word is curiosity, which is it's very important. And this is where we come in. We should make sure that this curiosity, this love for the past, is built into an energy that changes the country, removes the gray clouds, and gets a clear blue sky for them, not for me. I am done with this. Of course, there's more to Italy's decline than a failure of youth policy. It may well be that today we're living through a period of decay that's similar to the one the United Kingdom experienced before entering the combined revolutions of Thatcher, Mrs. Thatcher, and Blair. And much of that decay is in a public sector that doesn't seem to be able to support private enterprise, especially our fantastic small firms. While the usual stereotypes is that Italy's public apparatus is plagued with corruption, a prestigious scientific study points out that Italian waste in public procurement is due much more to incompetence than to corruption. I've always thought highly of that study. It points to the importance of learning and training for a society to finally improve and generate well-being. What better belief for a university professor? Nevertheless, when I look at the abysmal state in which our most treasured treasure lies, and I'm talking about Pompeii, ruins that are ruined, mismanaged in front of the eyes of amazed tourists, I wonder if it's not simply that corruption feeds on incompetence and vice versa, that the two reinforce one another in a vicious circle that seems to have no end. Pessimistic? I started this letter by saying Italians love their country, but also love criticizing it. Well, there you have it, there's the proof. Italians love to rag on themselves publicly. Sometimes in the process, they humiliate themselves. A final story on that. I personally saw two famous Italian journalists invited to the British Embassy in Rome to present one by one all the scandals of corruption that plague the country. I'll never forget the stunned and amused faces of several British diplomats and army officers at this pitiful show of self-deprecation. And I made a mistake that day. I did not get up from my chair, and I did not ask those two journalists how dare they humiliate their country in front of foreigners. Actually, the revelation of scandals should be a source of pride for us Italians. It is for me. Corruption is like rape. It is a crime that can remain unseen unless someone dares to blow the whistle. Whistleblowing can only arise where the culture is ready to protect the whistleblower. We were not ready yesterday. We are today, and the fact that all these crimes of corruption are finally denounced in the open air speaks by itself of a new energy of intolerance towards decadence that might be the beginning of our own Italian and maybe even European spring. And we Italians certainly want to be at the European table. As a friend of mine said once, if you are not at the table, you are on the menu. I'd like to add to this great insight. To be at the table, we need to do just one thing: show up. And I have no doubt we Italians can do that. We can show up.
The first of this week's letters from Italy came from Professor Gustavo Piga. The producer was Tom Alban. And tomorrow we'll hear from one of Italy's most respected television journalists and presenters, Lucia Annunziata. This is Radio 4, where the shipping forecast follows sailing by.